Preparation for Hard Times, Part 5. Psalm 119, 97 to 120. We have begun this study by speaking about the blessedness of embracing God's Word in our lives. We said that the Word of God has cleansing power. It cleans up our life, cleans up our thought life, cleans up our hearts, cleans up our actions. And the Word of God also has counseling power, provide us with wisdom, how we are able to do what is right in the sight of God, so that, you know, life becomes a blessing. And then there is the strengthening power of God's Word and the establishing power of God's Word. How the Word of God is able to cause us to have strength to live life, so that in the morning when you wake up, right, God gives you that strength in your heart to begin the day. Right, you won't drag your feet. You know, don't want to get out of bed, but you know that today is a new day that God has given to me, and I'm very excited to live this new day. And so the man of God who has God's Word by his side receives instruction from God for life daily. Because the Word of God is life, you see. When you have God's Word with you, life is imparted to you. And then you live your life. That's the next part from verse 41 to 96. How, when we walk with God, God delivers us, comforts us, loves us, chastens us, molds us, helps us, upholds us. You can experience the presence of God in your life. Whatever circumstances you may be in, you know what God is doing for you in your life. And then the psalmist tells us from 97 to 144 how we would grow in the Lord. Right? As you go through that process, right, in which God deals with us in the various aspects of our life, right, you'll find that you grow spiritually. You grow stronger. Yeah, your heart becomes stronger, able to handle the difficulties, the afflictions of life. And here, the psalmist tells us from 97 to 104 how he is growing to love the Word of God. Because he needs instruction for life each day. You know, when you wake up in the morning, is this the desire of your heart that you go and grab the Word of God and open it and read it? You'll find that you, if you do so, God is able to guide you for your day. You see, when you wake up, right, there could be many conflicting thoughts that comes in your heart. Where did it come from? You don't know. It is in your mind. Yeah? You have many troubles. You have many perhaps thoughts, bad thoughts, doubts, fears, you know, that can come into your heart and come into your mind when you begin a new day. And you said, oh, I have to face all these things today. But when you go to the Word of God, you'll find that mysteriously, supernaturally, right, God is able to guide you as you plow through and read the Word of God with prayer. And that is the mystery and the power of God's Word in the life of the believer. And after, you know, his devotion, after his quiet time, he receives a sense of the presence of God, and he receives a sense of God's instruction for him for the day. Do you have that experience? We all ought to have. Because we can't, you know, go on with life without guidance and without instruction. That's why, you know, the psalmist begins by telling us the blessedness of embracing God's word. And then he speaks about how God's word, how God, you know, is so present in his life, in various aspects of his life. Right? During a trial, the Lord was there to deliver him. He knows that God is there. Right? Then he comes back to love God even more. Right? And he wants to seek to know the Lord even more. Right? To walk in his way, to receive his blessing. So he learned to grow, right? To love the word of God. Do you have that kind of thirst and hunger after righteousness, after God? Well, that is something that shows, you know, the spirit of life that is in you. That power of God in you cannot be quenched. Right? It will always be there. There are times when you're discouraged, you know, but you know that when you go to the Word of God, you're going to receive encouragement. When you go to the Word of God, you're going to receive comfort. That's why the psalmist says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So he's saying that God's Word is not just good for him at the beginning of the day, right, when he receives instruction for the day, but it is good for him throughout the day as he meditates upon the Word of God, how the Word of God is able to give him strength through his day. And so he has that kind of a love for God's Word that he cannot explain. He wants to go to the Bible. He wants to go. You know, nowadays, our Bible is in our tablets. Right? And so, you know, we want to go to it and we want to see it in order that we may find instruction. And this was what happened for him. He says, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies." He had challenges in life. He needs wisdom for life. And he realized his own lack. But he saw also that in God and his word, there is instruction. There is true wisdom. And he says that, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." As you meditate upon the Word of God, as you take time to study the Word of God, and, you know, we were just saying with our brethren before our prayer meeting, how the study of God's Word is a painstaking process. You study the grammar of the text. You study the cultural background. You study the historical background. You study all the various aspects, right, of imageries that the writer of the Bible would use so that you may be able to understand that message that is brought before you. And it's not easy. Right? The feedback we receive is, "Oh, many portions I don't understand." It is true. But God gives to us His Spirit, and He gives to us His Word, and He gives to us that hunger and thirst and that diligence to think about God's word, and that patience to learn, in order that we may be able to find hope, find help, find strength, find wisdom. That's why he says that, you know, it has made me wiser than my enemies. Whenever he was in any contention, he was able to be one step ahead of his enemies. If there's an ambush, he would be able to find a way out. You remember when we were studying the story of Elisha, how the Syrian army wanted to defeat Israel, and very, very often they would send, you know, ambush troop to Israel in order to create havoc. But each time, Elisha the prophet knew what the enemy was up to and able to warn the Israelite king and the Israelite soldiers where the enemy is coming from. And so Israel dwelt in safety amidst the aggression of the enemy. And that is what the Lord wants, that is what the psalmist is saying to us. Right? That if you would take time to know the word of God, and you see, there is that supernatural element that is there in the word of God that is able to help you order your life aright. Right? Verse 100, it says, I understand more than the ancients. Oh, he says that the wisdom I have now as a modern man surpasses my predecessors. Because the word of God, and it's true, for us, right, we have the hindsight of all the teachers of God's word in the last 2,000 years, written down for us to learn. And if you would take time to study for a particular aspect of life, right, there are so many writers who have written, and so much wisdom that, you know, that is gotten. And with all this wisdom that you imbibe, well, you take it a step further. You are able to take it a step further. And that's why he says that, you know, I understand more than the ancients. And verse 101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. When you have God's word with you, it gives you that strength to say no to temptation. You know, say no to the evil way. You know that this is pitfall. That's why, you know, one of our brethren said, oh, I'm so surprised. How come the book of Proverbs has so many warnings regarding the strange woman? Right? How she dropped like honeycomb. What a description, right? Of attraction, fatal attraction, what we say. And it's true. So if you have the word of God, you know that, you know, this is for your life. You run from it. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, honey, good honey, if you take it, you know, it's able to give you that kind of a heightened sense of strength, consciousness. If you feel dull, you know, it's able to energize you. And this is what the Word of God is able to do for us. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. When we have God and his word, we are so much a better person. There was a man who wrote this testimony of a prisoned fellowship, and the book is entitled "And You Visited Me," and the preface is a word written by a Christian writer. It says, "Christ is building his kingdom with earth's broken things. Men want only the strong, the successful, the victorious, the unbroken in building their kingdom. But God is the God of the unsuccessful, of those who have failed. Heaven is filling with earth's broken lives, and there is no bruised reed that Christ cannot take and restore to glorious blessedness and beauty. How he can take the life crushed by pain and sorrow and make it into a harp whose music shall be all praise. He shall lift life's saddest failure up to heaven's glory." So there was one inmate called Alan Fraser, prisoner. And he testifies, he says, "On November 9th, 1978, I made the biggest mistake of my life. I was out of the town and drinking heavily as usual, and I ran out of money, and it didn't matter because I knew how to get more, and I didn't care how I got it. So walking down a dark street, I saw someone coming toward me. On the spot, I decided I was going to take his money. I was carrying a knife, so I sat upon the man and stabbed him severely. There was so much hatred in my heart for everybody that I really didn't care what happened to me. But the love was on me. The guy didn't have any money. The only thing he was carrying was a Bible, and he offered it to me. I threw it back to him in disgust. Later that night, I was arrested, and the next day, charged with possession of an offensive weapon and attempted murder. I was sentenced to 8 years in prison." This is a personal testimony. Okay. In the courtroom, Kenneth spoke out. "I'm sorry you got such a long sentence," he said. "I'll pray for you." I started my sentence in Aberdeen and later transferred to Perth for 3 years. Later on, I was moved to Dungavel prison, and this was where I began to recognize that God had an interest in my life. So this man, Alan Fraser, he continued, he says, "I started to go to the meetings, but I was often quite disruptive. Sometimes I said terrible things to the fellowship leaders, but in the end I realized that they loved me anyway. I couldn't understand it. I had never known or been shown that kind of love before. I went back to the dormitory and felt deeply troubled within myself. On Friday evening, I told Pat, a leader of the fellowship, everything that had happened on that November night back in 1978. It didn't change the Christian love that showed in her face. The only thing I could remember her saying was, 'You know enough, Alan.' I knew what she meant. I went back to the dormitory, but I never slept a wink that night. The next day, I went down to the chapel, still deeply troubled within myself. I couldn't understand why I suddenly felt so dirty. He says, 'Oh God, help me,' I whispered. 'Make me clean.' And he did. Deep inside, I felt an instant sense of release. Release from the past, release from guilt, release from my own thoughts about myself. And I sat there, I had a wonderful feeling of actually knowing Jesus and experiencing a relationship with him." Now this is what the psalmist is saying to us. He had a relationship with his God through his word. There was no doubt in my mind that Jesus had saved me, and I knew that he is still alive. Tears just poured out down my face, and I felt no fear or anxiety at all. Next day, I saw the mate who had told me about the prison, the fellowship group. I've become a Christian, he said, I said excitedly. Jesus has forgiven me, and he will forgive you too. And he says, through the study of God's word, he could distinguish right from wrong, truth from error. Therefore, he says, I hate every false way. He learns to be honest and truthful and experience the benefit of it as he embraces God and his word in his life. So, that's the first thought. Secondly, growing to rejoice in his word. Now, not just to love, but to be happy with it. There is a joy that comes, you know, in the studying of God's word in your life. Do you feel that? Is it able to give you comfort, give you direction, give you guidance, so that you may be under pressure? Suddenly that pressure is taken away from you. God show you the truth. And all the doubts, all the fears are suddenly taken away from you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, verse 105, a light unto my path. When I see darkness in front of me, God's word provides that light to open up a pathway for me. And I can see that way. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. You show me the way, I'm going to walk in it. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. He's distressed. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. O Lord, teach me thy judgments. Well, he says that he felt very much afflicted, but God was able to provide a way out for him each time. And he, therefore, in grateful acknowledgement of what God had done for you, for him, praises God with his mouth. Say that, yeah, I uttered this prayer, I was in trouble, I needed help. God provided that help to me, and I'm thankful that God has done something for me. Have you experienced that? Well, the psalmist tells us that God was there for him. And so the psalmist has that kind of a resolve in his heart that he will follow the Lord to the end. Verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statute all the way, even unto the end. Do you have that kind of a conviction in your heart? A kind of a strength that you see inside you to know that, you know, this is the way to go. You remember Joshua? Moses left a deep conviction in Joshua's heart of the benefit of keeping God's word. When Moses passed the mantle to him to lead the Israelites into the promised land, what did Moses pass to him? The written word of God, the instruction from God, how to be prosperous. And that was what Joshua had with him. You know, when we would leave this earth, what is it? What is the heritage that you can pass on to your children? What is the heritage that you can pass on to your family? What is it? If you pass them your wealth, you don't know if they would have the wisdom to be able to spend it properly, or, you know, before you know it, it's going to be squandered and gone. Then what do you do? But if you give them the word of God, and they learn the principles for honest living. They learn to work hard. They learn the skill of living. Then you know that, you know, God will take care of them. Because they have good instruction, good principles from the Word of God. And this was what Moses passed to Joshua. The Bible is the storehouse packed full of wisdom. And unpacking its treasures would take time. God's Word holds answers to desperate needs. And, you know, I was looking at this text and looking at the example of how Joshua was, you know, together with the Israelite, given the task to go into the promised land. And, you know, the river, the Jordan, was swelling with waters, and there were giants in the land, fortified cities. You know, the city of Jericho was so well fortified, many chariots could go through. You know, and it's a stronghold. Humanly speaking, no way to fight. And it is true, right? When Joshua and Caleb went to the promised land to survey with the other 10 spies, they saw giants. There were indeed giants in the land. You remember the Philistines, Goliath? They were not normal, you know. They were not normal people. That's why God commanded that they have to be taken out. Cannot keep. And that was what they did. But when they went into the land, what did Joshua, what did the tribes do? Well, they did not follow the Lord's instruction. And the people, the Canaanites, become a thorn in their flesh throughout. When they were weak, the Canaanites would rise up and they would be in trouble. And this was what happened. God provides us good instructions. How we can have success if we would only follow it. But if you would choose not to follow, well, then you find that we are the losers. And so studying the Word of God would take time. But the Scriptures would shed light on any situation. That's why you see Daniel was prime minister, you know. And he would take time to pray 3 times a day. Morning, noon, and at night. And that's why God gave him, you know, surpassing wisdom to be able even to advise the kings. How is it that he has all this wisdom? It didn't come from man. It all came from God. This is the wisdom that comes, you know, from true wisdom. And if we understood the true worth of God's wisdom, then we'll take time. Take time, you know, to seek the Lord, right? In every decision, in every area. You know, you take time to think about what God's Word says and how I'm going to tackle that situation. And you'll find that, you know, the Word of God is able to provide you a wisdom to handle your situation such that you will prosper. And that is what the Lord tells us we ought to do. And so the psalmist says, I hate vain thoughts, verse 113, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Now, if you have principles, and you want to live out your principles, you find that it's not going to be that easy. But you find that you will need to apply and use those principles and have that strength to do so in order that we may have, you may find life and not death, blessing and not cursing. So the nation of Israel, you know, God has instructed them to keep honest measures as part of her righteousness. And so they have this measuring basket called the ephah. Right? The ephah is a measuring basket, a dry measure. So you put things inside and you're supposed to be able to measure out, you know, something for your trade. So an ephah is 3/5 of a bushel or 22 liters. And the ephah was a measure used when preparing sacrificial offerings of food. And the nation of Israel was to keep honest measures as part of her righteousness. And it's interesting that the prophet Micah, I observed how Israel was rebellious and unrighteous in their practices. They had shortened, Israel had shortened her ephah, meaning that their business practices were not based on true weights. They were corrupted, and you know they were being chided. And you find that when we move from the straight, the narrow, the honest way to the crooked way, that's where problem would come. There was a young man who volunteered and was expecting daily to be drafted into the army. And one day his mother gave him an unpaid bill together with some money and asked him to go and pay it. And when he returned in the night, she asked, did you pay that bill? I really don't remember, mother. You know, I've had so many things on my mind. But you said you did. Well, he answered, if I said I did, I did. So he went away and his mother took the bill herself to the shop. Her mother didn't know, right, from the son's answer whether he did pay the bill or not. Mother said, this is the money, this is the bill, you go to the shop and pay it. Did he do it? Well, he said he did. But mother was thinking, did he really do it? So mother went to the shopkeeper to check. And what happened? Well, the young man had been in town. Now, this is his testimony. All his life. And what opinion was held of him, this will show, mother said. I'm quite sure, she said, that my son paid some days ago. He had been busy since and had quite forgotten about it. But he told me that he had, and says that if he said then that he had, he is quite sure he did. Well, said the man, I forgot about it. But if you ever said he did, he did. Was that not a grand character? This is the assessment to have. His word was trusted. So this man had built a reputation in his town, right, for, you know, carrying through his word. And the lesson is this, honesty is the best policy. No one can be upright amidst many temptations unless he would want to be honest for righteousness' sake. Because he knows that, you know, no one may be watching me, but my Lord is watching me. Right? If I cheat, the Lord's honor, the Lord's name will be shamed. And I fear my Lord. I don't want this to happen. So the man of God will fear to offend God by transgressing his laws. He knows his sins will find him out, and there's no way of escape with God. And that's why, you know, he says in this last portion, he asked God to uphold him, help keep him honest, keep him straight. Do you pray that way, to ask God to keep you? We must pray, ask God to give us that strength to deal honestly, to deal rightly. Not easy. Sometimes it's easy to cut a corner. Easier. But we would see that that is not what God wants us to do. And we learn to be wise in the things of God. And we learn that, no. Let us deal truthfully. Let us deal honestly. Let us deal righteously. So the psalmist learns, you know, to, with God's word, he gets so much wisdom to run his life. He grow to love the word. He grow to rejoice in the word. He grow to hope in the word. Sometimes when you want to, you know, you want to trust, you have to really exercise faith in God to do the word of God. Because, you know, sometimes in your own human sight, you said, well, it's a loose deal. No good. I'm not going to benefit from, but God's word tells us that this is the thing to do, and therefore we are going to trust God's word and not our own ingenuity. And it takes faith, you see, to trust the word of God. But the psalmist has got experience, right, to know the profit of following and obeying God's word. And so this is the lesson for us. During the hard times, when, you know, situation is most difficult, critical, tough, that's where we need to have that kind of a conviction in our heart to follow through with God and His Word. Never go wrong. This was what Joshua understood from Moses. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I shall have good success. We all want to have a prosperous, successful life. And God give us His blueprint, you see. Heavenly wisdom. So if you would take time to plow through His Word, take time to agonize over it, meditate on it, say, oh yeah, I don't understand. Let me think about it again. Let me pray. God, please show me what this means, what you have me to do. Then when we have understood it, and we say, oh, this is what you want me to do, then that other part will be easier, right? You know what God wants you to do, and you just have to do it. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the instruction out of thy word. Help us, Lord, to grow, to love, to rejoice, to hope in thee through thy word that provides us instruction, blessings for life. Lord, help us to take hold of thy word so that we may know how to order our lives like the young men who come to know God and learn to live honestly, like the man who went to prison who understood that his sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, there is a way out of our bondage, of our sins, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross. Lord, may thou be gracious to help us to come to the cross, come confessing our sins and find relief, find resources. And Lord, may thou be gracious to bless thy people with the strength to trust in thee during difficult times. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.